You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We Democrats made promises, particularly we did in the Senate. We said if we won those two seats in Georgia, we would get things done. Mitch McConnell blocked bills four times in a row. And Mr. Ossoff and Mr. Warnock told the citizens of Georgia if they were elected, they would make sure that the actual promises made would be promises kept, and they have been. So this is a wonderful day for America. This is one of the most consequential pieces of legislation we have passed in decades.
March 11, 2021, the words of Senator Chuck Schumer about this COVID relief package, $2 trillion. I know they will say $1.9 trillion, Larry. It's $2 trillion. Give me a break. And yeah, they're right. It's transformative. That's a fact. They claim it's bipartisan. That's not a fact. They're waving checks around. You're going to get your $1,400 check like that. That's going to make everything right, and everyone will be happy again. What you don't see in the bill, they don't want you to see. It's all shoved in there under institutes of art and language and things of that nature. And also big payoffs to blue cities and states. L.A., Los Angeles is getting $1.35 billion just for LA. $1.35 billion from this COVID relief. For what? Mainly to bail them out of other issues. Has nothing to do with COVID relief. And there's another progressive campaign pledge that is pushing forward. You need to be aware of this. This is another campaign pledge. We've heard that they were going to do it. And if you listen to Senate Congressman Roy of Texas, he puts it exactly in your face.
And now my Democratic colleagues, after defunding the police, opening up our borders, want to take away our God-given right, yes, God-given right to defend ourselves under the Second Amendment. This is about creating a gun registry to track guns of the American people.
And it's already on way. The House moving through it, Senate going to be taking it up. I mean, they are rushing forward. They do want to grab everything they can while they're in the candy shop, just in case, come 2022, things are reversed. Now, when you heard Chuck Schumer a moment ago, you heard him refer to the Georgia election, the Senate election, and said by winning that, we assured the American people we would follow through on our promises and deliver, and we have. As we pointed out numerous times, even Obama did it himself at one point. Elections have consequences. That's why you have this $2 trillion COVID relief package being shoved down your throat, put on your backs, your children's back, your grandchildren's back, and now they're coming for your guns. Second Amendment under attack. We're going to break all that down. The justice system itself is under attack by these leftists. Rogue prosecutors elected with money from multi-billionaire George Soros. In St. Louis City, you guys know you've got a prosecutor by the name of Kim Gardner, put in there by rogue prosecutor money from George Soros, and he's doing it all over the nation, and has done and will continue. And the worst probably is L.A. prosecutor George Gascon. This guy is absolutely throwing convictions out, turning things, everything upside down. We're going to be joined a little bit later by Cully Stimson. He's a prosecutor, trial lawyer, now an expert with Heritage on crime control and related issues. He will focus on that L.A. prosecutor and who is undercutting law and order there and elsewhere across the nation. Speaking of law and order, the border surge. It's a tsunami, and they still won't admit it. They just continue to say it's not that big of a deal. You know, people are pent up. They want to come because of all the harsh dictates and so forth. The Trump administration, the dictates was, we have a closed border. You can't come across. Biden says, here's the welcome mat. Come on in. And H.R. 1, of course, the attempt again by the left to federalize all elections, dictate to states, You try to fight back against that. If you try to fight back against H.R. 1, which we've talked about repeatedly here, you are accused now of racism. You try to create state laws to protect your voter integrity, it's racism. You're going to hear from Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN on that point. And in the midst of all of this, and I know he wishes it would just go away. Can you guys just keep talking about this other stuff? Everything, Larry, that you were discussing a moment ago, can you continue talking about that, but not me? That would be New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. More and more attacks on him. More calls from Dems, state assemblymen. You got to go, Cuomo. Got to go, Cuomo. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Everywhere in the world right now, the signal's out that the U.S. has a welcome mat, that President Biden would love for you to come stay, and the economic opportunities in America, despite everything, are still so much better than in most of the world. You can't blame a father or a mother who wants their child to grow up here rather than in poverty.
Of course, we all understand that. As a parent, wants the best for their children. Those are the words of Newt Gingrich, former U.S. Congressman, Leader of the House, on Fox News, saying the welcome mat is out. It's welcome. Come on, everyone, regardless from where, COVID or not, drugs with you or not. Come on. Come on. We're just going to let you in. As we said previously, there are people, there are those in Central America and in Mexico and elsewhere around the world, but let's just stick to those for a moment, that want to be in America. They see it as a land of freedom and choice and entrepreneurship and all the good things. At the same time, the same things that Democrats are trying, the leftists are trying to destroy. But they want to come here. They think it would be better for them. And they would come to assimilate, as legal immigrants have forever, to come into this country, and they want to be part of the country. They bring their culture. We appreciate their culture. We appreciate everything they bring. It's a palette of colors and food and song and language. It's great. But coming across illegally, that's the stopping point. But the Democrats have already made it clear they just don't care about the borders. I want you to hear from Judd. I'm sorry, his first name is... Let me get it here. I want to make sure I have it right. He is Brandon Judd. Brandon Judd, he is the president of the National Border Patrol Council. Now, this represents something like 20,000 Border Patrol agents. Listen to him qualify what we see now versus what we've had in the history.
I'm going on 24 years as an active Border Patrol agent, and I can tell you that I have never seen a day-to-day, week-over-week increase like what we're currently seeing right now. We've dealt with these types of numbers in the past. We've dealt with them in 2000, and, you know, in the early 2000s. We dealt with them in 2014. We dealt with them in 2019. But what we didn't see during that time is we didn't see the rapid increase like what we're seeing right now.
And we pointed that out to you. They have seen a three, fourfold of child immigrants coming across unaccompanied. They're putting them in facilities where they were going to try to house 1,200, maybe 1,500. Now they're up to 3,000, so they're having to ship them around. They're keeping them beyond the 72-hour requirement because they don't have any place to put them, and they don't know where to go. And in some cases, they just cannot turn these children loose because who's going to take care of them? Our bigger issue is who's going to abuse them and sexually exploit them. And they're still coming. They're coming because Biden is in office. They started the caravans after the election was over. They were already starting. They saw it as this is our chance. And if we get in within the first 100 days, surely we won't be kicked out. So there's a massive rush right now. I want to go back and let you hear from Congressman Tony Gonzalez, a Republican of Texas.
I'm on the border every single week. I was just there yesterday. The Biden administration deserves an F for how they've handled this border crisis. And what is happening is because of their reckless policies, and I'll be very specific, in February, they did away with the PACER program, which allowed judges to determine these cases and in many cases, push back against some of these immigrants that were coming. They did away with that program. And what we've seen is record numbers of migrants coming over. They've hampered our structure and our system.
And it's not stopping. Now, the other day, last weekend, under the direction of the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, there was an inspection on the border. He went down, supposedly, with Susan Rice. Yes, you remember her from the Obama administration. They went down there to survey the situation. But they did not allow any reporters. They don't want any reporters to see what's happening at the border. Riddle me this. Did the reporters not insist that they get to see everything when Trump was in office? Yes, they did. And was eventually that allowed? Yes. And did they capture pictures that they thought would be damning to Trump? Yes, they did. And if it weren't enough, then they used pictures from the Obama era and passed them off as Trump pictures, which turned out to blow up in their face. We are being told that a lot of these kids are being kept in basically concrete cells at this point. Not in cages, concrete cells. They don't have any place to put the kids. But we're also told, one source said, but they have butterflies painted on the wall. I'm sure that's a great comfort for those children. And I say children. Some of them are, you're looking at 16, 17, 18. They're still kids, but they also have a mix of them around, 8, 9, 10, 12. Yes, they came across the border. Maybe they came with an adult who claimed to be a relative. They're still trying to sort it out. Are they really related, or are they just trying to use this child as a child trafficking operation? And Gonzalez, again, of Texas, said, we are in this situation because of Biden's initial approach and the left backing him up.
Their entire plan was to just do everything opposite of what the Trump administration did. That's a wrong approach. There's things that work. There's things that maybe could have done better. But instead of scrapping it all, instead of listening to the people that are on the ground every single day, like myself in the district, like Henry Cuellar in the district next to us, we see it every day. Our constituents see it every day. And what we need is we need a comprehensive border package that highlights all the needs to the men that are doing the work. Border Patrol agents, sheriffs, and police forces are at the front of that. We need to add technology. We need to use all of the above approach.
Yes, we do, because it's increasing. The tsunami of illegals. And here comes House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She is saying that if you are focusing on immigration, as we see Republicans doing, and Larry Connors on Larry Connors USA, no, she didn't call me out by name, but she's talking about anybody who says there's an issue with this. She said, obviously, I guess, in her words, I guess the Dr. Seuss approach didn't work for them, so now they have to change the subject. In other words, the whole situation about the banning, the culture, cancel culture about Dr. Seuss and so forth is a big issue. And I guess they were hoping that we'd all stay focused on that and not look back to the border. How can we ignore what's going on at the border? Republicans, like House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, and his weekly press conference today, said we've had more than 100,000 encounters with migrants at the southern border last month. 100,000. He said that is more than the population of Joe Biden's hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. But here comes Pelosi mocking us. Well, you were looking at cancel culture and demonizing the left and things that you considered really important, like Dr. Seuss. And I guess that's not working, so now you got to rush into this. But McCarthy points out specifics. He said Health and Human Services report taking in 321 children a day. 321 a day. But again, the attitude from the White House, as expressed, by White House spokesman Jen Psaki.
This administration's focus is on digging out of the dismantled and inhumane immigration approach of the last administration. And that's why the president has proposed an immigration bill that would not only address the root causes that Leader McCarthy referenced in his letter, but would move beyond the policy of funding ineffective border walls by investing in smart security at ports of entry, and would also create a pathway to citizenship.
Yeah, all of that, and at the same time, the inhumane practices that were there before. The inhumane practice was you're just not allowed to come across the border. That was inhumane. Compared to that, you come on over and we'll put you somewhere we don't know where, and they're putting them on buses, COVID tested in some cases. They can't hold them. They just say, yeah, you tested positive. Wear a mask, quarantine wherever you go. And there have been reports that in addition to buses, they're taking them to airports and putting them on planes, flying who knows where across the nation. We'll begin to get details as they unfold, but we don't know where they're going, and that's partly because the Department of Homeland Security, according to those inside, gave a verbal order, do not talk to the press, don't tell them anything. The reason being, they don't want us to know, and they, by us not knowing, you don't know. But we know what's going on here. I mean, there's clearly what's underway. And Senator Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, pointing out that Attorney General Merrick Garland, who has now been confirmed on a 70-30 vote to be the head of the DOJ, Senator Tom Cotton pointed out that Garland refused to answer questions and written statements regarding his position on basic federal immigration law. He said, you would think that's a simple question. But Judge Garland, remember, he said, I hadn't thought about it. You remember that? We ran that clip. We ran that clip where he was asked, well, what do you think about illegal immigration or open borders? Well, I just hadn't thought about that. You're going to be the Attorney General of the United States, and you had not even thought about it? And Democrats are also pointing out, look, this is an issue, the latest happening today. And I'll bet he will never be back on CNN for some time, probably. I'm talking about Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon. He got asked by the host on CNN New Day, do you think the situation at the border could be considered a crisis? And she's got in her mind what he's going to answer. His answer? Well, it's approaching a crisis. What we have is a surge of children. More than half of them were children that were stranded for months, some for years, by the Trump administration in Mexico under completely intolerable circumstances. You see how they turned the corner? It's approaching a crisis, but it's not. It's what Trump made, because he made them stay in Mexico. You making it better for them by letting them come in now? Obviously, you're not. You're not. So he probably, as he said, it's approaching a crisis. He thought, oh, I better turn the corner on this in a hurry because it might come back to bite me. And then say, keep in mind, these kids were stranded, some for months, some for years, by the Trump administration in Mexico under completely intolerable circumstances. Well, what are the circumstances right now on the border that the Democrats are in charge of? What do they look like? We can't see that. We're not going to allow you to see that. And we're not going to allow DHS or anyone at Border Patrol to talk to you. All information comes through a public relations outfit, and that's it. That inside the DHS or the White House. And you just have to trust us that we know what we're doing. You have to trust we know what we're doing. They don't know what they're doing other than jeopardizing this nation. And it's not just what's happening now. It's what's going to happen down the road in the not too distant future. And the cost is going to be substantial. Again, former Congressman Newt Gingrich.
This is going to be extraordinarily expensive. It's going to shake, I think, the fabric of American society. And I guess my guess is that in 4 years of the Harris-Biden administration, that you're going to actually see enormous influx, probably in the neighborhood of 6 to 15 million people.
6 to 15 million. 6 to 15 million. And there is a report. And, of course, trying to get verification from the White House is very difficult right now, that the border security chief under Joe Biden is launching, quote, an all-of-society effort to help some of the Central American migrants who left their kids in the U.S. when Trump enforced our law against illegals, all out pushed to bring them back, welcome more in. Let them compete for American jobs. You got a good-paying job? We got somebody that work a lot cheaper. Oh, you're already here illegally? We got somebody to come in and work even cheaper than you. And then the Second Amendment assault. They are moving to take your gun. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And now my Democratic colleagues, after defunding the police, opening up our borders, want to take away our God-given right, yes, God-given right to defend ourselves under the Second Amendment. This is about creating a gun registry to track guns of the American people.
Those are the words of Congressman Chip Roy of Texas. He's talking about this bill pushing through Congress right now. And Congressman Mike Thompson, Democrat of California, and 131 co-sponsors reintroduced it as H.R. 8 on March the 2nd. They had a previous version which would require background checks for all U.S. firearm purchases that did pass the House in 2019 but didn't get the 60 votes of the Senate to clear the filibuster. This time around, elections have consequences. We told you repeatedly how important Georgia was going to be. Chuck Schumer today vowing that the Senate will vote on that bipartisan background check act of 2021. It passed the House earlier today, 227 to 203. 227 to 203. Now it's headed to the Senate. And Chuck Schumer says, we will pass it. And in fact, he had some other things that were almost offensive in a way. When he said, basically, we're through with praying. His words exactly. No more hopes and prayers, thoughts and prayers. A vote is what we need. A vote, not thoughts and prayers. I wonder how the folks feel about that who've lost a loved one from gun violence and had prayers, and they weren't looking at gun control legislation or even saying that was to blame. They were simply looking at the fact they lost a loved one. No more thoughts and prayers. And then you got Congressman Thompson again, one of the sponsors of California, claiming 90%. He says 90% of Americans support universal background gun check on gun control. 90%? Where's the evidence of that? He didn't cite any stat. He just kind of threw it out there. Do I see anybody on the left mainstream, correct that, state-controlled media now checking that, asking questions? Where are your facts? No. But if I sit here and told you that 90% of the American people are against guns. You should demand, Larry, where do you get that? And you should hold me to account. But they're allowed to get away with this. And he put it out on his Twitter account. 90% of the American people. I thought Twitter was going to put up every time something came up, it was suspicious or not true, something about fact checking or look at other sources, something like that, or even take it down. Are they doing it? No, they're not doing it. Will they do it? No, they might. But right now, they're just simply pushing forward and accepting his statement, I guess, that 90% of the American people support universal background gun checks. We already have laws in process for a gun check. Have you tried to buy a gun? You had to fill out information. You had to fill out information. Some areas you may have to wait longer than others, but you have to fill out all this information. And if anything comes back that flags it, you do not get that gun. In cases where people have used guns and gone on shooting sprees, in many cases they got them, often legally. The Las Vegas attacker passed background checks for his guns. So wouldn't have done a thing about it. What this does is if I try to give or sell a gun, let's say my grandson, when he gets older, wants to buy one of my pistols. I can't just sell it to him. I can't even just give it to him without a background check, not a universal FBI background check to make sure he's not some terrorist or on dope or something. That's what this is getting down to. And then a registration of who has what guns and where. And they've already passed several laws at border on snapping up guns. If someone just claims that you're a little off, that they can come in, red flag laws, and take the guns. There are people, yes, that should not have guns. I will be the first to agree. But what they're doing is using this as a prod, a crowbar. Let me put it more directly. A piece of dynamite to blow open whatever they can to say, let's get these gun laws through and get them through now. And they've got prosecutors across the nation willing to help them when it comes to gun control laws. Not going after the criminals, going after you. Speaking of prosecutors, there's one in L.A. that is basically undermining our law system, law and order. Stand by for that story.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There's video that came out of a California prison cell the other day that shows a convicted killer celebrating because the LA County District Attorney George Gascon issued a new directive calling for the possible resentencing of inmates following 15 years of imprisonment. He's a convicted killer. He has right to be celebrating. He's got a prosecutor who has lost all contact and understanding of the law. A rogue prosecutor. Joining us now, Charles Cully Stimson, previously a trial attorney himself and a prosecutor, an expert in national security and crime control. Cully, glad to have you with us again.
Nice to be with you again. Thanks.
Well, I was looking at a piece you did for the Heritage Foundation dealing specifically with rogue prosecutors. I know you've been looking at different cities, and we'll come to the St. Louis issue in a moment, but specifically the L.A., that he sounds out stands out, as you call, a rogue among the rogues. Go ahead.
He is. These Soros-backed puppets, essentially bought and paid for politicians, are essentially pro-criminal, anti-victim, former criminal defense attorneys who they buy into office, and then they enact these pro-criminal, anti-victim policies. And George Gascon, who was the failed DA in San Francisco, crime skyrocketed when he was the DA there, rapes tripled, by the way, under the 5 years he was there, year over year. He issued 9 sweeping so-called special directives a minute after he got sworn into office, and it eviscerates law and order and the ability to enact criminal justice reforms. I'm all for reforms, so are most regular thinking folks, but this is not reform. This is pro-criminal, anti-victim. So
you've been on both sides. You've been there as a prosecutor and a trial lawyer. So you can clearly see the difference.
Yeah, I've been a criminal defense lawyer, and I loved it, and was a prosecutor and loved that, and was a judge for 5 years. And so I've been on all sides of the courtroom. And look, we need a vibrant clash, an adversarial system, which is what we have designed, where you have competent, ethical, zealous prosecutors representing the people, and you have competent, zealous, aggressive criminal defense attorneys representing the accused, because as conservatives, we certainly believe in our liberty interests. We don't want anyone depriving us of our constitutional rights, and you need a fair and equitable judge to call balls and strikes. What Soros and the elites who are funding these rogue prosecutor races are doing is eliminating the adversary in the adversarial system. They're replacing prosecutors, independent, whether they're Democrat or Republican is irrelevant, independent law and order folks with pro-criminal, anti-victim people. And so they are buying these races because they know that the prosecutor is the gatekeeper to the criminal justice system, and it's a pretty cheap investment for them.
And I have to say, it is appealing to the progressives and the left, and often, I have to say, some of those who fear that they might end up in front of the prosecutor. And you talk about some of the special directives he issued, the pretrial release, which you say is basically let everyone out of jail and then cash bail.
Right. I mean, they're very clear, Larry, what their goals are. They write about it. They crow about it. Yeah. They brag about it. So they're not hiding the ball here. They hide the ball when they're running for office. And then once they get elected, they whip out these radical pro-criminal directives. So he's eliminated cash bail for murderers, child molesters, everybody. So even if you've beheaded 10 people, you're just going to get out on no bail. And they're going to put maybe an ankle monitor on you or tell you to be a good boy. But one of the directives says that if you got a life sentence or any sentence over a period of time, once you've served 15 years, you're out. I order my 1,000 prosecutors, it's the biggest prosecutor's office in the country, to join with the criminal defense attorney in a motion to release this dude after 15 years. So these folks in Folsom State Prison, these convicted murderers, are having a party, and it was caught on video because they used a burner video cell phone, celebrating, cheering each other with this moonshine they made in their jail because, George Gascon directive is going to let me out. Well, this guy should be rotten in hell.
Yeah, that was exactly the story I was referring to a moment ago, and that convicted killer facing 40 years for shooting another gang member in the head. It's still a death. And as you pointed out, the prosecutors are being directed to join with the defense attorneys to say, okay, we modify and we're willing to let him go at 15 instead of life or 40, whatever it would be.
Right, right. Here's the deal. They pretend that the entire country is systemically racist and that the criminal justice system is systemically racist. It's not. Of course, there are black, brown, and white racists. We all know that there are. But the system is not racist. And the policies that they put in place have resulted in crime spiking in all the cities where these rogue prosecutors have been elected. Because why? They refuse to prosecute entire classes of
crime. I am totally surprised. I'm totally surprised that that's happening. Really. Cully Stimson,
yeah.
Come on. Really. Cully Stimson, Heritage Foundation, you're saying that because they're doing all this, suddenly crime is going up? Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're sitting. Otherwise, fall down. So, and that's their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
I mean, they know that their policies are pro-criminal, anti-victim, and they are counting on the liberal media not reporting on crime skyrocketing in their cities. But here's the thing. The very people they pretend to care the most about, black and brown people and other underserved and underprivileged people in inner cities, are the very people the policies hurt the most because those are the people who are most victimized.
Absolutely.
So they're the racists. If we're talking about racists, their policies have a racial disparate impact because they're hurting and killing other black and brown people.
Yeah, and to that extent, I think those communities deserve as much protection from law enforcement and the law enforced in their communities just as the wealthiest states of Hilton or someplace in Bel Air. And you point out also this is going on all across the nation. Now, in the city of St. Louis, they have one also a George Soros-backed candidate who got in, Kim Gardner. First thing she did was immediately start dismissing a lot of the statements by police lawyer police officers and not accepting them anymore. And it's happening all over the nation.
Well, fortunately, it's not happening all over the nation yet, Larry. There's 2,300 elected DA offices in the country. But what George Soros and his ilk and his PACs and his cutouts have done is selected big cities, Boston for Rachel Rollins, Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, Kim Gardner there in St. Louis.
Blue cities.
Kim Fox in Chicago, Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore, George Gascon in L.A. The list goes on and on. There's a few dozen. And they're race mongers, and they're pro-criminal, anti-victim zealots. And they're enacting these crazy radical rogue policies that are harming people. And so, for example, in L.A., there's a recall petition against George Gascon led by none other than the black and brown victims who've had enough. Not
Good.
Republicans,
Good.
Not conservatives.
Good.
These are Democrats. And look, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing. This is not a conservative or liberal thing. This is a law and order versus chaos
right.
thing.
Now, to that extent, also, we have to be concerned that these prosecutors, many times they have additional political aspirations. And now with the Biden administration, one of them might be tapped to become a federal judge.
Well, I worry not only about that, but we wrote a piece about is a rogue U.S. attorneys coming to your jurisdiction? Because remember, there are 94 Senate-confirmed U.S. attorneys in the 94 districts around the country. And if the Senate if Biden nominates and the Senate confirms these rogue-type prosecutors as U.S. attorneys, then you don't have the backstop to have the feds come in if there is a federal crime committed to prosecute the people that the local rogue DAs aren't going to do it. So in Philadelphia, you had Bill McSwain, who was the U.S. attorney. He cleaned up the mess that Larry Krasner, the rogue DA, wouldn't. You had Andrew Lelling in Boston, who was the U.S. attorney, a law and order guy also, who cleaned up the mess that Rachel Rollins has left. And you had other regular, traditional law and order, independent prosecutors who were federal U.S. attorneys cleaning up the mess that these rogue prosecutors were leaving the city in ruins for. So, look, this is not going to go away until we shed a light on what they're doing and bring the heat to it. And it's going to require victims' rights groups to stand out and step up and say enough is enough.
I want to turn the subject just briefly because since I've got you on, Cully is also an expert on Guantanamo Bay and dealing with the detention policy and operations. Now, the Biden administration, that's one executive order he hasn't signed yet, but what do you see coming and what's the value of keeping Guantanamo Bay or not?
Well, we're, number one, still in a state of armed conflict. We're in a state of armed conflict, even though most people probably don't think about it anymore, against Al-Qaeda, the Afghan, Taliban, ISIS, and associated forces. And under the laws of war, we're entitled to detain the enemy for the duration of the hostilities. Guantanamo now has 39 Al-Qaeda members in military detention. Some are facing military commissions for like the five guys involved in the 9/11 attack, or Nashri, who's the USS Cole bomber. But believe it or not, Larry, we had over 103,000 detainees since 9/11. Over 75,000 in Iraq, over 25,000 in Afghanistan, and at its peak, 669 at Guantanamo. Now we're down to 39 and none in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, in the last 30 seconds, do we keep Guantanamo Bay or what do we do?
Well,
can you solve it in 30 seconds?
Until the war's over.
Sir?
You keep until the war's over.
Okay, that's easy enough. Listen, I appreciate your time, Cully. Always glad to have you on board. And thanks again for helping us pay attention to these rogue prosecutors and the George Soros money and what he's buying.
We're writing about Kim Gardner next week, so stand by.
All right. There's part of your audience right there. Cully Stimson, again, from the Heritage Foundation. I appreciate it. We'll get back to him on that Kim Gardner piece in addition to everything else. Coming up, Cuomo facing a new concern that there might have been an allegation that now might actually be a crime. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Now
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, every one of these allegations is really serious, really troubling, and needs to be carefully looked at. I have always said that sexual harassment is just not tolerable in our society, and we know that. And so I early on called for an independent investigation. I have a great deal of faith, Lawrence, in the Attorney General of New York State. She will uncover everything. She will turn over every stone. She has subpoena power for both records and witnesses. And I am also confident that she will resist any outside interference, political or otherwise. I have faith in her.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat in New York, when he referenced Lawrence, it was not reference me. It was Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC. And Cuomo saying, these are really serious, so we need to carefully look at them. Well, at least he's talking about it. You can't get Biden to talk about it. Kamala was having a conference the other day, and then when they started asking questions about, what about Cuomo, what about Cuomo, she walked away. Walked away. Well, here's something that just surfaced, and this could be another bombshell regarding the Cuomo case in general. Now, keep in mind, I will be the first to remind you, the Democrats didn't bother about reminding you of this fact when they were attacking any conservative, be it up for the Supreme Court or anything else. Anybody they can attack with such claims, they're going to go with the woman each and every time. But it's one word against the other normally. Well, now police are saying that they got word that Cuomo might have been involved in an incident that could rise to the level of a crime. The report was made by the state, the report to the police. The incident allegedly involving a female aide taking place at Cuomo's executive mansion. He's already got multiple allegations of sexual harassment. The Albany Times Union reported a female said that Cuomo aggressively groped her while they were at the mansion. So the state is making the report to the police and saying, as a matter, this is the acting counsel, the governor stating, as a matter of state policy, when allegations of physical contact are made, the agency informs the complainant that they should contact their local police department. If they decline, the agency has an obligation to reach out themselves and inform the department of the allegation. In this case, the person is represented by counsel, and when counsel confirmed the client did not want to make a report, the state notified the police department and gave them the attorney's information. Now, police say they've not opened an official investigation, but they're offering their services to the woman, the alleged victim, as is their policy. So apparently what we have is a woman who says in her, what she said, that she got aggressively groped by Cuomo while at the mansion, and she was considering doing something, talked to an attorney, and when the state became aware of it, well, they felt that they had to, especially the acting counsel for the governor, say she does represent the court as well, had to notify state police that here's this allegation. And here's the lawyer if you need to contact her. In other words, she's doing what she needs to, the counsel for the governor. She does not want to go to jail for covering up Cuomo and anything else going on, and nor should she want to. Now, again, I insist you keep in mind that's an allegation. There is no proof so far from anyone. Yet, more than half of all New York State lawmakers, more than half, now calling for Cuomo to resign. Six women now accusing him of sexual harassment. I think the one I just noted for you from the governor's mansion makes a seventh, unless I've lost count or that's part of the six. I don't think it is. Doesn't make any difference. Again, that's their allegations, but it's taking a political toll. 120 state lawmakers have called for the governor's resignation and our impeachment. That includes, well, of course, 55 Republicans, you'd expect, but also 66 Democrats. 66 Democrats of the state assembly's 150 total members, and the New York State Senate, 63 members. Other politicians, New York City Bill de Blasio, mayor, of course, who's not a big fan and friend of Cuomo anyway. He's calling for Cuomo's resignation. In all past cases where Cuomo, being the governor, heard that somebody in somewhere in the state and some state staff or something of that nature, a political office and allegation surfaced, he immediately jumped on them and said, you cannot serve. You can't serve. You cannot do it under these allegations, so you got to leave. Well, he's not doing it. Obviously, he's going to do the CYA. The New York Democrat Assemblyman, Ron Kim, who originally started the nursing home cover-up and bully tactics, is saying Cuomo must be removed from public office, quote, so he can no longer abuse his powers while preying on other female staff members. And again, he says the governor's pattern of sexual assault and abuse of power is evident and undeniable. I'd take offense at that in the sense that I cannot say that it's evident and undeniable. I don't care how many women you got coming forward. Is there a pattern suggested? Well, of course there is. But a pattern suggested is not proof. Do I think he probably did? Of course I do. But I still stand on the side that I need proof. But the governor may end up caving. Maybe not. He may fight it out. We'll see. In our next hour, you do not want to miss it, because I'm telling you, if you think you want voter integrity, if you want voter integrity, you have to be a racist. Don Lemon Fruitcake flat out says you have to be a racist. If you think that we just need to simply accept the COVID package bill as just the best thing to come down the pike, and yet you're going to complain about it, you're also a racist. You don't want to miss the next segment. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.